Hello, everybody. Can everyone hear me okay? Give me a note if you could hear me.
Naughty.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining our live webcast. My name is Sarah Gluck. I am with the America Israel Cannabis Association, and I'm excited to present this webcast to you today. In a few moments, we're going to be joined by Sulcan. We have about 45 minutes, and we're going to take a deep dive into Israeli cannabis. We have a few questions prepared, but if you have any questions during this webcast, please type it in. There should be a little comment section. If you have any questions that you would want to ask Saul, please let us know. Let's begin. So I quickly wanted to introduce the America Israel Cannabis Association, otherwise known as AICA for short. We are a membership-driven organization. The Cannabis Association was brought back to life by our CEO, Michael Scher, and our president, Jeffrey Zucker. Our mission is to foster collaboration between North American and Israeli cannabis companies and professionals. We do this by focusing on three main areas. The first is education. We have a weekly newsletter, a podcast series called Canica Bits, and now we are getting into webinars and webcasts. The second is community. We're really trying to build a community throughout the world that supports Israeli cannabis. So far, we've had events in New York City, Denver, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Boston, and of course, Tel Aviv. We even have what I like to call a matchmaking service in which we connect businesses with businesses. The final thing we focus on is consulting. Our Rolodex spans the world, and this is something that we like to share with our members. So to give a little background on why we're even speaking about Israel is truly the birthplace of modern cannabis research. A lot of us know the story, a young Raphael Meshulam in 1964 discovers THC. Medical cannabis has actually been legal in Israel since the 1990s. Everyone looks to California, but Israel was right there with them. Israel is called the startup nation for a reason. It's a very business-friendly ecosystem. And while we will mostly be talking about medical cannabis, adult use in Israel was actually decriminalized as of April 1st of this year. So enough for me. I'm proud to introduce our guest, Saul Kay. He has over 5 years in the global cannabis industry. He's the founder of ICAN Israel and several online businesses. ICAN is a private equity company focused on the cannabis space and has a portfolio of companies across the globe. ICAN is also involved in Canatech, a worldwide cannabis innovation conference. The next Canatech is in South Africa. So book your tickets now, pack your bags, get ready. And I believe that is November 24th. Other locations for Canatech include Tel Aviv, Hong Kong, and Sydney. So Saul, first of all, thank you so much for being here today. How are you doing?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Hi, everyone. I had such a great week. It's been fantastic. Things have been tumultuous in Israel, I'll say the least, going back now to elections that was announced this week. So it feels like we're going through the whole thing again, but it's going to be good.
Well, it sounds like a really exciting time in Israel. Let's talk about that excitement for a little bit. You know, what are you most excited about in the Israeli cannabis market?
Oh, the number of clinical trials. I sat with a company this week who are a CRO, a clinical research organization, that are involved in over 100 clinical trials right now in things that we're not looking at in other places, ADD, Crohn's, arthritis. They just finished the one on autism. There's even been a clinical trial done in Israel on tinnitus, ringing in the ears. I happen to suffer from that and know that THC works. So I'm glad that the pharmaceutical medical industry is catching up.
Me too. So let's talk a little bit about like Israel's role in the global cannabis ecosystem. You know, where does Israel really fit in?
Well, there are really three countries right now that can export cannabis. Canada, obviously, Uruguay, and Israel. Now, Israel, while we're able to legally, and they've set the framework up that we can, no grams of cannabis have legally been exported yet. But there is a clear indication for the government that there will be exports. So it's a regulation thing now, and it's a matter of how quickly they can move. Now, our regulator is way behind. We've had over 1,000 applications for some form of cannabis activity, whether that's an R&D lab, a grow, a genetics, companies that want to touch the plant for devices that they've created, like the CDU device and the Leaf device, companies that are creating vaporizers. All of them in Israel have to have an R&D license to touch the flower, and the backlog at the Ministry of Health is quite brutal.
So could you talk a little bit about that process of sending in an application to touch the cannabis plant in Israel?
So it's not a complicated process. There's a form you have to fill out. There is the reasoning behind the what you're going to do. And you have to commit to apply all the standards. So Israel has introduced five standards across the cannabis industry. So GAP, Good Agricultural Processes, for the growing of cannabis, facilities are agricultural in nature and dirty in nature. So the GAP fits for that part of the industry. GMP, obviously, for the manufacturer. GDP for the distribution. GCP is a new standard that Israel wrote, which is good clinical practice. How do doctors prescribe it? How do pharmacists give it to patients? What do you start at the dosage? How do you move between various, they don't call them strains in Israel, they're moving more towards a ratio-based system. So start on a high CBD and end up at a high THC if you need it. So that methodology is being created by the government. Whether it's correct or not and scientifically backed or not, I won't go into that, but there is a system for the clinical work of cannabis on the day-to-day basis, and then obviously testing standards and distribution and pharmacy standards. So that's what's unique in Israel. We're not going to a coffee shop or to a dispensary to buy cannabis. You're going to the pharmacy with a prescription. The prescription is for a certain range. So let's say the doctor decides you need C10T1. So that's a 10-to-1 CBD to THC ratio. You go to the pharmacy and the pharmacist will say, in that category, we have Tikkun Olam and we have IMC and we have ICANN's brand called High. And then it will be up to the patient to choose which they like best. And that's, you know, based on some of the clinical research done, could be based on the emotional attraction to a brand or the recommendation of the pharmacist. So It is moving, you know, somewhat in a good direction, but as with everything, it just takes way longer than it should.
Right. I'm glad that you mentioned exports, because that's my next question. Everyone asks me, you know, when is this going to happen? And when it does, where is the medical cannabis going to go to?
So we'll start with the second question. Where's it going to go to is easy. As a new country comes on board with their cannabis program, they have a huge demand from patients. In Australia, for example, doctors were allowed to begin prescribing cannabis, so they did. Patients then get a prescription, go somewhere, and no one has any stock. Because the regulations were really quick in somewhere like Australia, that everyone has to be GMP certified, and that takes you know, 1 to 2 years to get up and running. So in that period of time, Australia's grown to 40,000 patients, about the same as Israel, and all of their cannabis right now is coming from Tilray in Canada. So the Israeli producers already have agreements with several countries around the world that are waiting for us to be able to put our validated cannabis into their legal cannabis frameworks. Germany, for example, put a tender out of 14,000 tons of cannabis flower for next year. Israel currently only produces 10 tons. You know, we got where to export it to. It's just a matter of the government catching up and having a stable government. You know, going to elections all the time isn't going to help cannabis policy we're one country, one federation, no counties that are going to be able to say, Tel Aviv is going to go and legalize cannabis over Jerusalem. That's not going to happen in Israel. So we have to work under the system that we have.
Right. So, you know, given the current system, given the election, do you anticipate this happening this year?
Yeah, the promise by the government, and I've, you know, met with the export ministers and the people who are responsible is a guy named Itai Melchior. They've promised by the end of the year that the framework will exist. There's still a lot of complications. There are some big LPs who are trying to come into Israel and operate grows, but there are certain restrictions on the background checks of companies here. Not having a framework to do those company checks and personal checks on the people is slowing everything down. So if you own more than 5% of an operation that touches the plant, it's actually quite difficult to accept foreign money because it will slow down the licensing process. So, you know, there are lots of kinks in the system that need to be worked out. And we saw in Colorado when medical and legal happened, it took quite a while for the kinks to be sorted out, and they're still, you know, not all there.
Right, absolutely. It's definitely a process. Okay.
And so your first one, so that was about export. The first question, you know, when it's going to happen, the end of the year, what is going to be exported is more of a relevant question. My belief is that any finished product, so a product that would be available for me as a pharmacist to dispense in my pharmacy, would be a legally exported product. Bulk flower would not be a legally exportable product. So I think it's going to land where we're going to be shipping finished goods, whether that's
right.
10 grams of cannabis flower pre-packaged, all the way up to the oils and vape pens and edibles that are coming to market.
Fantastic. So I want to talk a little bit about cultivation. You know, I read that Israel has opened up applications for medical cannabis cultivation. You know, what does this mean for the Israeli cannabis industry, an industry that really only had 8 growers for the past few years?
Yeah, so it's great. It allows many of the kibbutzim to participate in cannabis, and they've all been struggling through the agricultural commoditization that's happened in Israel. And cannabis is a profitable crop from an agricultural perspective for them to grow. But the heavy costs on the setup and the licensing and the infrastructure has made it difficult for a lot of the kibbutzim really to jump into it. A lot of them have gone and gotten the license. There's a two-phase licensing approach here. So the first phase is you apply for the license, you do your background check, and the government says, okay, here is your initial paper saying you can now build out your operation. You know, and there's a certain timeline of milestones that they have to put in documentation in order to maintain that license, which we call a code ISUK, it's just really an internal number that's been assigned. then you go about building out your infrastructure, getting your licenses from the local municipalities for your building permits, etc., and you go and set up your security infrastructure of your facility, and then you order the Ministry of Health to come in, they come, they check it, and then that you get your preliminary grow license. And so everyone's kind of pushing towards that, but it's a matter of how they raise the capital for it. Given that a lot of the capital is going to be foreign ownership that can't go through that background check. So I think everyone's on this pause roller coaster right now. So pause, go, and it will happen, and there will be, in my estimation, somewhere between 50 and 100 growers until the market starts to open up locally as well.
And could you just quickly clarify what kibbutzim is for those that haven't been to Israel?
Sorry, say again, Tara?
Could you just clarify what a kibbutz is for those that haven't been to Israel?
A kibbutz is a leftover from the communist era. There were these collectives in Israel where they were based around agriculture normally, but a lot of the kibbutzim broadened out into heavy industry and regular industry. But basically, you were a member of a kibbutz, and everyone enjoyed the collective profits, and everyone earned the same money, and everyone lives in the same houses, and your kids go to a local school. Often the kids didn't live with their parents on kibbutzim earlier on. So that they were really the backbone of the agricultural industry in Israel. And so allowing kibbutzim to participate broadly and actively will increase the chances of success in Israel, because they know how to grow on scale microgreens and vegetables and
tomatoes,
the you know, famous tomato that was developed in Israel, and the small little cucumbers and the small little gamba, the capsicum, peppers have all been developed here in Israel. So taking that knowledge from agriculture, using the kibbutz infrastructure so they have their own bank, they have their own access to cheap water and electricity, making it attractive for kibbutzim to really come in and operate cannabis businesses.
Well, now I'm hungry, but I do want to talk a little bit more about research studies in cannabis. You know, you mentioned that you're really, really excited about, you know, all the studies that are coming out. Could you talk a little bit more about the current status of cannabis studies in Israel? You know, what are you tracking right now, and what is almost ready for the world to see?
So, you know, Israel's unique because we get a lot of government funding for research. Yesterday, ICANN had a project approved by the Innovation Office in Israel for our study in cannabinoids for ocular delivery. So we're looking at dealing with a whole bunch of inner eye diseases, dry eye disease, uveitis, macular degeneration, things that up to now are not very well treated with common pharmaceuticals. We're doing another trial in adult ADD, which I think is one of the first in the world really tackling that. We know anecdotally that people use cannabis for ADD and ADHD, so we really want to cement the science around it. Crohn's, there's a really active study right now. My mother is a Crohn sufferer, so I follow that fairly closely to see what the results are. And there's been fairly good results in complete remission of Crohn's using cannabis. So that's what I'm doing personally. As to what the rest of the industry is doing, there are companies doing studies in the reduction of steroids. So if you have lupus, or if you're a chronic patient that gets a lot of steroids, it's been found that CBD reduces the needs for those steroids, and you can actually use CBD as a steroid-sparing strategy. So that's coming out of Israel. Similar companies doing something along the lines of CBD and reduction of cholesterol. So we're starting to get more into the science, which receptor's working, why it's working, which cannabinoids and which profiles are you going to need in order to get to certain outcomes. And obviously, you know, the things that Dedi Meiri is doing in the Technion on cancer research are absolutely fascinating and, you know, groundbreaking. So, you know, we keep our ear really to the ground and try and understand what people are doing. There's, you know, often in cannabis, it's easy to make an announcement. You're doing a trial. We still haven't seen the results of those trials coming out other than, you know, the autism and the epilepsy and things like that. But those have a massive impact. When the kids finished the autism trial here in Israel, we saw an effect of adding autism as a condition even in Colorado. So, you know, the world is paying attention when we do the science. It's always been difficult to find who's funding that research because it's, you know, very difficult with the IP, the intellectual property around cannabis, and how to protect it when a different strain or a different profile can potentially give the same therapeutic outcome. So we're very good at patent law around cannabis as well. So those are things we try and keep our ear to the ground, and we go out and actively meet all of the universities, and we've got a hemp day coming up at Ariel University. So we really try and be active in the community in order to create an ecosystem of excellence in research across the board.
Wonderful. Well, I want to ask one more question, and then we're going to open it up to the audience. I can imagine we have a few investors joining us today, and they want to know where the greatest opportunity is to invest in Israeli cannabis at the moment.
So we'll leave the public side out of it for the moment. I think the public investment side in Israel was as attractive as it is in Canada and Australia right now, but it's very volatile. We took a over 50% shave in the market of cannabis over the last week. But outside of that, outside of, you know, investing in grows, and I think we're all beyond cultivation at this point. You can amass a large amount of money and go into cultivation, but the cultivation risk is really high. We know that, you know, the largest producer in Canada of cannabis threw out about 50% of his grown stock last year because it didn't meet standards. So the innovation coming out of Israel that's tackling the standards, the devices, the consumer element, tapping into the rich pool of human capital here from pharmaceutical research and AI and defense systems. That's where Israel is going to shine. We're not going to shine in you know, the micro-agriculture climate that you've got going on in California. That's very, very different. But here we're going to solve some massive problems. We're going to, you know, solve some of the genetic issues in cannabis. And we're going to have things that are really focused around the intellectual property and scalability out to the rest of the world.
Well, we have some amazing questions from our audience. Going on, you just mentioned genetics. Is there a database for strain registration in Israel, like based on genetic profiles?
So the Volcani Institute, which is Israel's agricultural research organization, have a genetic program now to register genetics. They also have a phytosanitation program that we can now import certain genetics, tissue culture, seed, whatever, in and have it cleared through the Volcani Center. And they are building out that database. I don't think it's as robust simply because we don't have the input data that you do in California, the number of strains. So currently there are 112 registered strains in Israel based on what the 8 growers were all growing. But recently met one of the old seed, legacy seed companies in Amsterdam, and he was telling me that he knows of at least 4 growers in Israel who are using his genetics under new names. But those will be registered as the genetics in Israel. So it's a really interesting time in terms of registering genetics and how to do that. But yes, simple answer is we are building a database.
Wonderful. And, you know, one of the most important things in cannabis is really protecting your intellectual property, protecting your brand. You know, what do you see happening in Israel in terms of patents and trademarks and other forms of intellectual property protection?
So there are a few active firms. There's JMB and Bressler who are, you know, doing a lot of the IP work around this. I think Israel is only second in the world in terms of IP registration around cannabis. Number one is China. They've been registering cannabis IP for years. But we are leading, and with the brain trust that we have and the number of universities that are doing programs and the ability to get that grant funding, you know, which we applied for, we were rejected, and we finally got our first grant approved last night. So that seriously accelerates the ability to create that IP. And the grant funding is fabulous. I put in $10,000 for the application, and the grant funding came in at $120,000 with my $10,000 paid back. So if you're successful, it really does make sense to do the research in Israel, because you'll get paid to do it by the government.
That is a beautiful thing. So, you know, Israel is a small country. It's a small market. A few weeks ago, Cronos, $1 billion-plus company, announced that it would be acquiring a lab in Israel. You know, how do you see the entry of these, quote, heavy guns into the Israeli market? Is this a good thing, a bad thing, or will time tell?
I think it's a good thing. I think the knowledge and the capital that, you know, companies like Cronos bring with them will only elevate the industry here in Israel. We actually were involved in that deal to try and save this factory, which was owned by the parent company of Cronos. It was a crazy story. But when big conglomerates get really, really big, often they don't know what one hand is doing and how that integrates with the other hand. And we saw it kind of happening here in Israel, and we were able to help influence that deal. But it's, you know, again, comes to the fact that we are going to have the big players come into Israel. All the big IT companies are here. All the big telecom companies are here. All of the big social media companies are here. It's not going to be any different with cannabis.
Wonderful. Okay, so let's talk about hemp for a second. What is the deal with hemp and Israel? Everybody
hemp
wants
and
to
cannabis
know.
Are the same plant. They're the same plant in the botanic sense, and they're the same plant in their output sense. Regulation comes along and says, well, less than 0.3 or 0.2 or 1% is hemp. Everything else is considered medical cannabis. And Israel has classed hemp right now as cannabis. It's the same infrastructure required. There are two pilot hemp programs going on in the south of Israel, where they're growing hemp for agricultural and fiber purposes. And we at ICANN have a factory that does botanicals, extract to give therapeutic outcomes. And we've put in a license to begin working with hemp. So the only hemp we're allowed to right now is hemp seed oil and hemp seeds. But, you know, I spoke to the regulators. They all expect by the end of the year some major change in hemp policy here in Israel.
That's just, it's so interesting to me. So let's go around the world, if that's okay. So you guys are having a conference in South Africa. What is the current relationship between Israel and South Africa when it comes to cannabis?
Lots of Israeli companies have set up operations in Africa. Obviously, Lesotho was the first nation. It's a landlocked nation within the borders of South Africa. that, you know, began licensing cannabis. Canopy is already there. I think Aurora and Aphria have grows there. So Africa is turning on in a big way. Now, my work with the government here has allowed me access to many other governments that look towards Israel in terms of setting up their licensing and infrastructure in a similar way, because Israel's done the hard labor. So governments come in, they do a G2G relationship, a government-to-government relationship with our Office of Medical Cannabis, and then look to implement a similar framework within those countries. Now, if the framework is going to be similar in Uganda, it's going to be very attractive for Israeli companies. And there is one that's a publicly listed company that went and said, okay, we're going to grow in Uganda. So Israel, Africa is an easy one for me in terms of the market of Africa. I think it's as big as Latin America, which is as big as Europe, which is as big as the U.S. And it's going to be a low-cost production area. And Canatech has always liked to go to the hard places. You know, we went to Hong Kong. There's no cannabis legal situation there. We went to the United Kingdom before cannabis was legal on any level. And we really want to push the market and encourage the industry. That's part of ICANN's mission, is that I can, and everyone can. And if you get involved, you are part of the change. And if you sit on the side, then you're not. So we like to go where it's somewhat more difficult.
Right. Nothing worth doing is easy, right?
Well, if you build value, then, you know, the money comes, the recognition comes, the PR comes, and that's been our philosophy from the beginning. Build value, show why Israel is special in the world of cannabis, and we've successfully changed the language around cannabis in Israel from the fringe patients who are getting it and the fringe people who want free cannabis and, you know, to release the plant, which is a legitimate argument. But now it's about the investment, the IP, the brain trust that we've developed in Israel, and how we can now shine that light on the whole world as they develop our cannabis, which is clearer and clearer every day that the rest of the world is going to follow, and we're going to all end up in a somewhat similar situation to California and Canada. To me, that's clear as day, and it's just a matter of time. So I'm building the infrastructure that will allow us to participate in that very, very big industry while it's, you know, growing.
We just have time for a few more questions. One thing that is asked to us a lot is the possibility of an American company doing clinical trials in Israel. Could you talk a little bit about the process of an American company completing clinical trials in Israel?
It's the same as any company doing a clinical trial. So the framework for clinical trials is the same here as for the FDA. You make your application, you have to have a principal investigator, usually from a hospital, who does the paperwork, and you involve a company that does the mechanics, who are called CROs, the Clinical Research Organization. And then it's a matter of getting Helsinki approval, which every clinical trial in the world needs to get, and getting a pool of participants who want to do it. So if you look at clinical trials in the US, a friend of mine, Sue Sisley, is a doctor doing a trial on PTSD and found it incredibly hard to get patients into the clinical trial because the stigma, because the whole industry is against it. Whereas in Israel, there isn't really a stigma against cannabis. We all know someone who's on cannabis in the medical program. We know people who have been helped with it, kids with cancer, grandparents with cancer. So that stigma's kind of gone away, which just makes doing clinical trials like anything else. So the same as Pfizer and Novartis do a lot of clinical work here in Israel, and all of GW's clinical work on Sativex and Epilodex was done here in Israel. If everyone has been doing it for so long, and they will continue to do it because it's attractive, it's cost efficient, and the access to the brain trust and the patient pool is there.
Right, absolutely. So, you know, in terms of clinical trials, what resources are there in order for people to stay up to date, keep up with all the research that's going on in Israel? You know, other than, you know, these PR newsblasts that we see after the fact.
Yeah, the reporting around cannabis trials is still spotty. You know, you've got PubMed and where we would normally look for clinical trial data. I don't think there's anything that's aggregating. I know we've tried to put a lot of the clinical work that has been done that's referenced. There is a tab on the ICANN website that has a list of those clinical trials. No one's really tackling that. One thing we are trying at ICANN, we've set up something called CARE, which is Cannabis Adverse Reporting Engine. So it's looking at the adverse effects. We're trying to collect data from patients if they haven't used cannabis successfully, or you know, a strain hasn't particularly worked for a particular condition. And that's something we're trying to roll out on a global level so that we can start to collect, you know, the data around it. And, you know, it's definitely an initiative that needs to be done. Again, who funds initiatives like this? It becomes really difficult.
Right. You know, one thing I do want to note is that ICA is attempting to track all these studies. Right now we're tracking around 35 clinical trials, which we know, you know, you mentioned that there's over 100. We know it's not everything, but it's definitely a start. You know, so if that's something the audience is interested in, please reach out. We're happy to share that. So just some quick, you know, what are your thoughts, questions? You know, when do you think the EU and UK is going to be open for business?
So the EU is a mess at the moment. I spoke recently at the Parliament in the EU. Hemp is a free-for-all show. You can do whatever you want. There's massive black market hemp CBD product being launched, and they don't seem to have a way to stop that. So I think on the hemp side, it's going to be a very robust industry. On the medical cannabis side, it's going to be slow. There really is only one producer for the EU market, which is Bedrocan, and it's going to take time. They, you know, they went to tender in Germany, and then they went to another tender, but it's slow. I wish it was faster, but it really isn't. I think Africa and Latin America will turn on much quicker. You see, like Mexico and Colombia moving straight towards legalization over medical programs, just because that's where the world is moving towards.
Right. Now then, you know, the U.S. just had a year week. You know, what are your thoughts on when the U.S. will finally catch up?
It's really interesting. I listened to that whole FDA hearing. Both sides were represented. The pharma industry was standing up and saying, this has to be regulated as a drug, and the hemp industry were standing up and saying this has to be regulated as a food. I think it will come down to the claims that you make. So if you have a hemp extract product and you don't make any claims, you're free to sell it. If you have 3,000 milligrams of CBD in your bottle and you're marketing it as an anti-seizure product, then you're going to have to go through the full FDA for it. So I think that's where it's going to happen. I think there will be federal legalization for cannabis on a recreational level at some point in the U.S., whether it's before or after the next election, don't know, but it's going to go that way. I don't see the federal government of the United States not taking a federal cannabis tax and leaving all of that to the states. They see the money, they see how much Colorado and California are making from this. They're not going to stay out for too long, is my opinion.
Right. And do you think Israel will do the same? Will it federally legalize?
I think it has to as well.
Right.
We got 27% of our population who was admitted to using cannabis in the last year. We've got a system that criminalized cannabis until recently that cost the taxpayers over ₺1 billion, about $300 million a year to prosecute cannabis crimes. The courts are tired of it. The police are tired of it. The people want access to good quality product that is safe and is affordable. And if we can't get it from a legal market, we're going to get it from the black market. And the government will realize at some stage they're not really fighting a war against their patients, and they're not fighting against a system. They're creating a system which is encouraging a black market to thrive. And that has to stop, and it has to stop everywhere. But it's only going to stop if the legal market can produce a well-priced product that is well-branded and safe, that consumers will feel comfortable buying, other than going on Telegram and ordering it home delivered quicker than I get pizza. So we got a lot of competition from the black market.
Right. So I have two final questions. The first is, what do you think is the long-term market for Israeli cannabis exports as other countries start to catch up?
So they'll catch up on the simple agriculture of growing cannabis. They're not going to catch up on the science of developing particular products for particular ailments that will, you know, have legs. Those products will want to be consumed the patients, because it's got a history of working for other patients or clinical trial data. So that's going to happen automatically, that those products will have a legal international market. But Israel, with 8 million people and potential use of 3% of that for the medical population, it's not such a small market. It's a very big market. It's the same size as Michigan. And you see what's going on there. And it's the same size as Colorado. And we've seen what goes on there. So, you know, export is great, but I built my business for the export of technology, not the export of a commodity. And commodity pricing will become a major issue for the rest of the world. It's not an issue for California, because we're never going to import Israeli cannabis into the United States, not unless it's a full FDA product like Sativex. So it's an interesting time for cannabis. I really don't know. Hopefully governments wake up. Hopefully regulators get on our side and understand the economic potential, the potential for job creation in a world where robots are taking away our jobs. This is an awesome opportunity, and we should let everyone participate. Israel's suffering from the same thing as everyone else is in the cannabis industry, grew up in the illegal cannabis industry, or a lot of people did. And those people, when the cannabis industry goes legal, they're often prevented from participating. So they go to the black market and make that even stronger. So we get into these cycles where we're kind of lost. But, you know, Israel had a singular message: how do we get cannabis into the hands of patients? And they did that really well, and they ignored everything else. Now's the time to think about, okay, we've medicalized, now what's next, and how do we deal with the other issues that we have?
Eloquently said. Unfortunately, we do have to wrap up. So is there anything you want to leave our audience with?
No, just, you know, I do believe Israel is still a absolute safe place to make cannabis investments. You won't see the quick returns that you might do growing cannabis in California, but the longevity of the industry and the ultimate size of a pharmaceutical industry as opposed to an agricultural can to invest in. And we're going to be rolling out a series, you'll stay tuned, but we're going to be road showing Israeli technology companies across the U.S. And it's going to start in September in New York. So stay tuned. We've got a whole series of events planned out that's going to showcase Israeli technology everywhere.
We're so looking forward to that. Saul, on behalf of the America Israel Cannabis Association, thank you so much for your time. Thank you, everyone who is watching this live webcast or watching it later on. I want to encourage you to check us out at AICannabis.com, or send Michael, Jeff, or myself an email if you have any further questions. All right, Saul, thank you so much. And
thank you all.
Everyone,
happy Shavuot this weekend, and look forward to seeing you at a Canatech event.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.